in the house of the Lord. Thank you to our musicians. You ought to be seated. Counted a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And Sister Hannah, God bless you. Hannah number two. Amen. Glad to see you guys had a good trip coming down. So praise the Lord. How many come expecting today? He'll give us exactly what we have need of, what we expect. And, you know, your little guys that operates the gift. You know, a preacher can do all the work he wants to, but you've got to be the one that pulls on it. I remember times in Scripture, Jesus said, Scripture says Jesus couldn't do one miracle because of their unbelief. So it's actually, you got the word can come to you, but you got to believe it. You got to pull on it. So let's work together. Let's pull this all together. I'll pull and you pull and we'll have church. Amen. So I want to thank Brother Tony for the opportunity to be here today to speak with you. And to just get off of what the Lord has put on my heart. I want to speak to you this morning on redemption unfolding. Redemption unfolding. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. I think she'll have these on the multimedia for us. And let's just read this in the name of the Lord. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven nor in earth, either under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for the nervousness that I feel in myself, Lord. I pray that that never goes away. Lord, anytime I ever stand before your people holding your word, Lord, Father, it is a precious thing. It's the only thing that will stand. Heaven and earth will pass away, Lord. Yes. Your word is the only thing that we can surely stand on, Father. Yes. Lord, anybody can open their Bible. Anybody can assemble in a building. But, Father, only you can make a service, Lord. Only you can unveil your word, Lord. We have no desire to try to figure you out, Lord. We want to know you, Lord, in a friendship, companionship, Father. Lord, know you in the relationship of a personal thing of saying, "You are a God that changed my life. You are a God that made me who I, changed me from what I once was into who you called me to be." Lord, we love you today. Be with us now. Speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and show this right now. I'm wearing that for the respect for the Lord. You know, this was a momentous occasion. All of creation was dependent upon somebody being able to take that book. And if nobody was found to take the book, every sacrifice that was ever done would have been in vain. You know, every battle. You know, being a Christian, it's a battle. Life itself is a struggle, but when you're a Christian, it's a real battle. Because, you know, it's not you, and I know you know this, when you become a Christian, that doesn't give you a life where you never have to fight battles again. God's going to win everything for you, and it's just a life of peace and joy. Don't get me wrong, it is a life of peace and joy, but it is a battlefield. Right. And you know, and if no one was able to take this book, every sacrifice, every perseverance that ever took place could have been for nothing. You know, if Jesus was not able to take the book, even the whips, the beating he took on his back would have been for nothing. You know, when he knelt on and they put blindfold on his eyes and then smote him with a stick and say, "Who hit you? Who smote you?" It had all been for nothing. Every bit of it, every sacrifice down the ages, if he wasn't able to take the book, it would have been for nothing. Every bit of it. But he took the book. Amen? He prevailed and he was able to do it. Adam and Eve were in fellowship with God, and Adam forfeited his rights to save Eve. How many knows that's the truth? You know, he stepped down because, you know, he could have said, "I'm not doing anything." God would have wiped Eve off of the earth and give him another wife. But he loved her so much that he knew God cannot kill his own life. And Adam was God's life. And he knows if I put my life inside her, that God cannot kill her. So thank God he did that. But when he did that, he forfeited the book. He forfeited the rights. And I want to read a quote here of what the prophet said. He says, "Now we see something that was lost here, because the Bible said so, and in the book there that was redeemed us. We are redeemed from. Something must have been lost. Before you can be redeemed, there must be something that redeemed us back. And all the inheritance that we had has been redeemed back. Then we must have had something one time that we do not have now. But this Lamb come to redeem, see? He had something that we lost from. Now notice, what did we lose? Well, it was given to Adam to have eternal life. As long as he eat from the tree, he had eternal life. And we notice again that Adam, he inherit the earth. He was like an amateur god over the earth. The earth was his. Everything was given to him in his hand. He could do with it whatever he wanted to. He named it, he called it, done whatever he wanted to. He was truly a son of God. Now in the fall, Adam forfeited the title deed to that. He forfeited it to Satan. Satan took the title deed. Adam was slothful and did not redeem his rights, for he could not redeem his rights. But Satan, which does not rightfully own it, but he possesses that. He is the God of this earth. The Bible said so. He possesses that. Now, not because that he really rightfully gets it, but he possesses it. Now, do you get it? Satan possesses that. He holds it in his hand. Death is in his hand. Earth is in his hand. World belongs to him. Every nation belongs to him. He governs and controls the whole world, everything in the world. Satan does. But thank God we're not of the world, see? There you are. I don't mean the church. He don't control the church. He just controls the world. He said they were his, and he's the God of the world. Jesus said he was, and he is. He's the God of the earth, has blinded the eyes of the people, the God of this earth. If you notice this, it says Satan possesses the world, but he doesn't own it. Aren't you thankful for that?
Right.
You know, Satan might have, he possessed me at one time, but he didn't own me.
Right?
He possesses your family that's lost, but he don't own them. Because, you know, every name that's in that book, it goes right back to the Father. And he hasn't won anything. He's just possessing it temporarily. You know, sometimes we'll go through a trial or something, and Satan, it looks like Satan's got the upper hand. But let me remind you this morning, he's just possessing it right now. He does not own the situation.
Right.
Only reason Satan can do anything is because God allows it. It is for a purpose. And sometimes he will allow things to happen to somebody to give them a whipping back to let's get back to the Word of God and say, I wasn't where I thought I needed to be. That's grace.
Amen.
You know, what would be evil is he would allow a person to think that they're okay and then find out rapture when they're not.
Right.
Satan possesses our fallen loved ones, but he does not own them. And Adam in his position was an amateur god. Now, if Adam in his position was an amateur god, what about us? When we get in our position, we are an amateur God. That's where we can speak the Word of God and He will fulfill our word if we come with the same attitude and the same faith, the same approach, because we are a son of God. How many sons of God have we got this point?
Amen.
Not just being a son, but being a son in His position. Now, Satan knows that when people get in their position, they are an amateur God. And as long as Satan can keep the people blinded, they are in his possession. And I want to say again this morning, Satan is the god of this earth. And if you think he ain't, go walk down the street.
Right.
He's the god of this earth, even to the magnitude that even churches worship him and don't even realize it.
Right.
Because, you know, the scripture says they're worshiping another Jesus. And if it's not this original Bible, it's another Jesus. And they are worshiping Satan and don't even realize it.
Don't even know it. Right.
Because it's a defiled word. Because he's not a wishy-washy God. He is a God of his word.
Right.
Jesus, whenever he told them out down the scriptures, when you build the ark, I want you to use this wood, use these dimensions. When you build the tabernacle, use this wood, use this material, use these dimensions. Let me ask you, did it matter if he used something else? God said, you use what I say to the point. These are the dimensions that I want. Because if you don't do it the way I'm telling you, it's not going to work.
Right.
Just worshiping God's not going to work. He's got a provided way of worship. Just sincerity won't work. Just worshiping God won't work. You can have the Holy Ghost on your flesh and you can still go through the great tribulation period and still go to hell. Having the Holy Ghost on your flesh. Amen.
Right.
Let's read this next quote. He says, but you see, Abraham, not being nothing himself, he was called by election. Then if Abraham was called by election, then his seed after him has to be called by election. That's right. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him first. And all that the Father have given me will come. That's the reason you must preach the gospel in its plainness. Yet the elected sheep of God will hear that and catch it right quick. They'll believe that baptism of the Holy Ghost, where others will walk away and make fun of it. Because they were elected to hear it.
Yes.
That's all. So you see now why the church of itself is elected, predestinated by God. And that's from Abraham and his seed in 61. There are names in the book, and Christ has been interceding for those names. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
You know what I think about that? We weren't thinking about him doing it. He was interceding for us when we weren't even thinking about him.
Right.
And I want you to remind you that about your loved ones. Their mind may not even be on the Lord. He's still interceding for them.
Yeah.
And every name that's in that book, he is interceding for every name until we reach the goal. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
It's God doing the interceding. It's God doing the calling. God is in control. It's Jesus Christ is the Savior. He said, this is what I'm called to do. And you know what? He's very good at what he does.
Amen.
Right.
No man can even look at the book, much less that we even need someone. We didn't even know about the book. How many of you knew about the book ever until you come to the message?
Right.
Never even heard of it. We didn't deserve it and had no idea, and yet we held a position in God's mind.
Right.
And he was interceding for us to reach that goal. And it reminds me, you know, when we look at a boulder out there, we may see just a big rock with dirt on it, and we see just a rock. But somebody that's a master crafter, they can look at that same boulder, and they can see a creation inside that boulder. They can look beyond the dirt. They can look beyond the big boulders of everything. And they see something deeper inside that what it is. He is a master builder. And he's looking at something that nobody else looks at. And that's exactly the way God looked at you and I. Amen. He did not look for somebody that was already almost perfect. God looked at somebody that is an absolute total mess of saying, this is the ugly boulder. Everyone else sees it. Pharaoh saw them as slaves. Whenever God looked at them, he said, that's my chosen people. And I've called them for a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lamb was interceding. I'm going to say that several times in this entire service. The Lamb is interceding every step of the way.
Amen.
Abraham was ordained to believe the word. And there was an appointed time when Abraham would heed to the call. And when God called him at that appointed time, he was ordained to believe it. He would start walking. And I say that, that worked for Abraham, and that happened for Daniel Black. There come a time in my life, friends, where I was not thinking about worshiping God. He come looking for me.
Right.
And whenever God come looking for me in the midst of a rock and roll party, in the midst of alcohol, in the midst of everything a sinner boy could possibly want, in the midst of that, there was a time ordained for the foundation of the world that God said, I've got a bride down here on this day, on the Laodicean age, and on this day, on this moment, he will respond to my word. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you.
Right.
And he can do it for your loved ones because it's God doing the interceding. Why do you, I wasn't there saying, boy, I hope God's interceding for it. My mind was not even on God.
Right.
God was interceding. Why? Because there was a book. And you know what we're waiting on to go to the rapture? The last name come manifest in that book.
Right.
Because when that last name comes manifest, we're going home. I'm ready to go home.
Amen.
Brother and sister, that's what he's doing. He's interceding for us. Listen to what he says in this other scripture. He says, the Lamb is the only mediator, see? He was the one that come forth, and what did he do now? He's been back there interceding until his blood has atoned for every person. And the Lamb now knows what's in the book. And he knows from the foundation of the world, there's names in there. So he has stood back there and done mediator work like this until the mediator work. Till everyone that's been put in the book has been redeemed and it's finished. And now he walks out. See, he done his kinsman work. You know what the kinsman work was? To testify before elders. You remember Boaz kicking off his shoe and so forth. He has done all this now. Now he comes to take his bride. Amen. He comes now as king. He is looking for his queen. Amen. In this book, in the whole secret of it, wrapped up around seven seals. Oh, brother. To the breach of the seven church ages. The Lamb is interceding for every name that's written in the book, and it has always been him interceding for us. And I want to say this, Please catch these words that I'm saying. We are not saved because we do certain things and because we don't do certain things. It has nothing to do with it. Is that true? You are not saved because you do certain things and because you don't do certain things. You are saved because the Lamb has interceded for you and he petitioned the blood for you and you accept that blood. And it's a pardon. That is why you're saved.
Right.
Let's go to the next scripture. That means I can live any way I want to. Well, let's see. We are saved because the Lamb is interceding. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield your servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you are servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you may became the servants of righteousness. You say amen.
Amen.
Shall I continue in sin since it doesn't matter? God forbid. Because if you know what, if you believe from your heart, you will automatically start living a holy life. Because it's something that happens on the inside. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119, verses 25 through 28. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Let's go to Psalms 119, 37 through 40. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. David had something inside of him that was longing for the precepts of God. David had something inside of him. It was a deep call to the deep that he wanted God. He was hungering for God. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph lived for God. Why? Because he had something inside him that loves God so much. He said, I will not do these things because I don't want to defile my God. What was it? He had his people that have a love for God. And if you love God, you'll love his word. Amen?
Right.
Many people say, well, I love God. I can live any way I want to. If you love God, you will live any way you want to, but it'll be according to his word.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
My wife said, I love Daniel White, but if she don't live any way the way I live my life, I'm sorry, that's not loving me. That's using my name in vain. And that's exactly what people do many times a day. They'll say, they use the name of the Lord in vain. They say the cuss word and saying the Lord's name. Come wrong. Don't say that either. Christians won't. But really, to use the name of the Lord in vain is whenever you are holding the name of Christ, but you're living a different name.
Yeah.
Brother and sister, we don't want to be doing that. If you love the Lord, a wife wants to be a good representation of who her husband is. She wants, because she is his headship. She is his helpmate. Amen?
Right.
A wife will be a good representation of her husband because she loves him. And she doesn't want to put any kind of, and that's exactly the way it should be with the church. Christ, when we love Christ, we want to live a life because we are projecting his image upon the earth. You know, the reason you know the sun is still here at nighttime is you see the moon. The moon has no light of itself. All it's doing is reflecting the light of that sun, and that is the evidence that the sun is still shining somewhere. And that's exactly the way it is with the people that believe the word of God. Even though that Jesus may not be here in the tangible flesh, standing in the midst, we are the evidence that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right now. Why? Because his light is shining on us.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's why in the midst of the darkest age there's ever been, right here, right now, there's a people that still believe the word of God. You have every reason to quit, every reason to doubt, every reason to say there's nothing to it if you look with these eyes. But there's something on the inside of you that believes the word.
Amen.
And his spirit is shining, quickening the seed inside of us in this hour. There's still a people that believe his word.
Amen.
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 Then we're saying, Brother Daniel, that's just a bunch of emotion. You'll get what I got, and you'll get emotional too.
Exactly.
Amen.
I remember me and my brothers used to go camping, and we'd have a little turtle, and we stuck in the water. He never came out of the shell. He'd sit in the shell, just so bashful, you know. Mm-hmm. Put him in the water, bubbles come up. took a stick out and beat him with a stick. He still didn't come out. We had a fire sitting there. Kevin, we put him over the fire. And guess what happened? He wasn't bashful anymore. He's licked up kicking. He got to moving. You know what? I would that people would get over the fire of the Holy Ghost sometimes. Right. It'll get you out of that little bashfulness. Well, I don't like to worship the God like that. You get that real experience on the inside of it. You can't help but kick.
Yeah.
Remember Abraham talked about the little calf, you know? I'll get back to my notes in just a second. He talked about the calf over there. This one over here that had the gold plates and all this stuff. And you know, the nice fins and everything. And, you know, he was a slothful God that watched over the calves. He just give them weeds and stuff like that, and you know, he didn't give them the things that they needed to really produce. But here was this other farmer. He gave them the best he could. He fed them the calves. He kept giving them food and kept giving them the thing that they needed. During the winter time, they're eating that. Springtime comes around, they begin to open them out. That old one over here that's neglected come out, bones sticking out of them, barely moving. Sickly looking thing. You'd hate to have thing to get beef out of it. It'll be much meat on him, you know. He gets out and he looks around and there ain't nothing to all that. Here comes this other guy. He's been fattened up. He's been eating. Hello. He comes out there and he's just a kicking. He feels the wind blowing. He's a praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Wag that tail. Got a little scrawny one looking over there, walking through there, speaking through the fans. He looked over and says, emotionalism. He's over here. He said, you come get what I got, and you want to bounce too. Come get the experience that I've got, and you want to wag your tail too. Brother and sister, I'm here to tell you, that's the way it is when you really get the Holy Ghost on your life on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
There'll be times when you don't feel a thing, but brother and sister, I've been serving God since I was 19 years old. You don't get the emotional sometimes. That's why people don't get the victories they need sometimes. You're too afraid.
Yeah.
Stop being afraid. Yeah. Worship the Lord.
Right.
Sometimes you've been going down the road, the Spirit of God moved down on you, but you're too afraid to shout and praise the Lord. And many times, if you raise your hand and say, God, I love you.
Amen.
I love you. I just want to praise you. Sometimes I don't even need you. I just want to praise you. Brother and sister, when you do that, it breaks the realms, and the presence of God will just bathe you.
Amen. Right.
Am I preaching myself this morning?
No,
man. Plenty of people are thinking I'm a little knothead because just the craziest guy in the world. There's many times I'll be going to work and I'll just break down bawling like a big baby.
Amen.
Just crying. It's the Lord, I just love you.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
Be walking the lot in the back, just looking at stuff, and all of a sudden his presence comes down, and I can't help it. I just scream and say, Lord, I love you.
Right.
I love you.
Amen.
He still does it.
Amen.
Right. So I'm going to guard you. Next time the Lord moves on you, throw up your hands.
Right.
Amen. Throw up your hands to him. And maybe you don't worship God like I do. Try sometime.
Right.
Amen. Amen. David longed for God's precepts. There was a deep call to the deep in David. And I'm going to tell you something. David was an oddball. And God's people have always been oddballs. My word, I won't have to tell them I'm a Christian at all when I'm at work. They'll accidentally say a word or something, and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I did not mean to offend you." He said, "God, I didn't mean to offend you." And what was it? He's here.
Right.
He's with me everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't ever have to tell somebody I'm a Christian. Our
right.
Life should bear that. Amen. It does do that. The devil will try to beat your mind and tell you you ain't got the goods when you do got the goods. And many times I tell a person, you don't have the goods when you do have the goods. I always say that backwards. You might have the Holy Ghost, the devil will tell you ain't got it. And you might not have the Holy Ghost, the devil will tell you got it. You know the best way to know you got it? Walk in his presence. Mm-hmm. Just get back to my notes. But you know, the little caterpillar, walks on the ground, he trips over sticks, everybody's squashing at him. Wouldn't you love to be a caterpillar? You got people like me that like to catch them and use them for fish bait.
Yeah.
You ever catch a fish on a caterpillar? Oh, that's fine. You take that little thing, he's just squabbling around, and you be still, little guy. Be still. You ever think about that? Have you ever done that? You literally tell a worm, be still, while I stick a hook through you.
Yeah.
We've done it.
That caterpillar, he will walk through his life on the leaves and everything and getting stomped on. People trying to use him for fish bait. Birds trying to come down to eat him. All kinds of different things. He just tried to live the life of a butterfly. But there will come a time, brother and sister, he'll get in a little thing, a little cocoon, I think they call it. A little dirt hole. He'll get inside there. And he don't come out of there until he's changed. He'll eat a special diet and he'll get shut up and tarry inside that little clob of dirt. And when he comes out a new creation. He comes out a butterfly, and no longer is he crawling on the leaves anymore. He's been granted wings that he can fly above every bit of that stuff that he's been having to fight with.
Right.
And there's a lot of times, friends, whenever you are trying to trip over and trying to fight pornography, you're trying to fight this, you're trying to fight that, you're trying to fight this, you're trying to fight that. It's because you're caterpillar on the ground trying to wiggle over that. What you got to do is shut yourself in that cocoon with God.
Right.
And he'll give you that transformation on the inside.
Right.
And he'll give you those wings where you can fly much higher than all that garbage.
Man, that's right. Man, that's right.
Brother Daniel, that's too simple. It works.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the gospel is simple. If you find yourself or you're struggling a lot of times, Brother Ben talked about the little eagle and that squirrel just chatter. And that eagle, the whole time, has the ability to fly higher than all this garbage. You know, listen to that chatter. Days of the healings are past. Chatter. There's no more baptism in the Holy Ghost. Chatter. You can't be healed. Chatter. You're trying to be just too emotional. Chatter. You know what that eagle had to do?
Yep.
Start flying higher away from the chatter. Brother and sister, we live in the darkest ages ever been, where everything in the world is telling you the days of promises are past.
Right.
No, they're not.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to tell you, I was standing right here when the Lord healed my shoulder.
Amen.
That same God that healed my shoulder is here right now.
Amen. Right.
I wasn't even thinking about a healed shoulder. Why? I had a lamb interceding for me.
Amen.
I wasn't even thinking about it. He was interceding for me.
Right.
How many times have you been going down the road and the presence of God will drop down in your midst?
Yeah.
Why? The Lamb is interceding for you.
Amen.
Brother and sister, that's my God.
Right.
When I was at the rock and roll party doing my thing, there was a Lamb interceding for me. I didn't have anything to do with it. He's the Savior. Oh my, I'm just the one that got saved.
Amen.
Did you say amen?
Amen.
I didn't save myself. I was fighting against it. I had no desire to worship God. I had no desire. But there's an ordained time. At his time, I could try to defy it all I want to. That little caterpillar, imagine him being inside that little igloo, what do you call it? Cocoon, I think they call it. Imagine him being inside that thing. Is it? That'd be something like an igloo, wouldn't it? Imagine that little. Sometimes it feels like an igloo. So stinking cold, Reno. Come on, get some warmth of the Holy Ghost, you know?
Yeah.
You ever seen a barn got mules and better man? And you wonder why people don't want what you have. Hello! It might be catchy. I don't want that. That little caterpillar inside that little cocoon all by himself feels all alone. Ain't nobody else in there with him. He's alone. He's by himself. And that's what we got to do. You got to get alone by yourself with the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm tearing here until you change me, Lord. Change who I am. Change my mindset. Change the way I look at things, God. Change my nature, God.
Amen.
Right.
It comes by getting alone with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
How many caterpillars we got this morning?
Amen.
How many butterflies we got? Amen. I'm a work in progress.
Right.
I might look like a caterpillar, but the book says I'm a butterfly.
That's it.
Someone else can say, I saw Brother Daniel do this. I saw him do that. I saw him. Yeah, I'm a caterpillar.
Yep.
But the book says I'm a butterfly.
Amen.
And I'm going to make it, not because of me, but because I have a Lamb interceding for me.
Amen.
Brother and sister, if we focus on that, a lot of our battles will go away.
Right.
Your family. They might think they're going to be a caterpillar. They say, I ain't doing that. I ain't serving God like you do. I ain't doing that. Okay, go ahead. There's a Lamb interceding.
Right.
Amen. I love conviction of the Holy Ghost. I love it.
Amen.
I pray it never goes away. The true queen desires to be established in the ways of her king.
And she doesn't go out trying to present her own righteousness or her own image. She is quickened into his righteousness, and she is quickened into his image. And Christ has been redeeming his church, and Christ works through man. God has always done his calling. And I wanted to just remind you of a little story where Jesus fed the multitudes of about $5,000 with fish and loaves. How many are familiar with the story? He began to feed them with the fish and the loaves, and the people saw the miracles, and if you look in the scriptures, they wanted to force him to be a king. And Jesus had to escape them to loan because, see, they wanted to make him a king. Right. Sounds good, don't it? Sounds really good. We'll just make him king. We'll worship God. We'll have church. This is, praise God, this is the way it should be. But if he would have just did that, he'd have never went to Calvary.
That's right.
If he would have allowed them to take the easy way and not go the way of Calvary,
right.
he would never pay the debt that we needed.
Right.
He would have never been able to redeem the book.
Amen.
Every sacrifice that would have ever happened would have never worked for anything if he had took the easy way. But what did Jesus do? He said, I must do my will of my Father.
Yeah.
He had to go the way of Calvary. And you know, people still do that same thing as what they were doing back then. They tried to force him to be a king. That's what I'm saying now. They tried to force Jesus to be a king then, and people are trying to force Jesus to be a king now in the condition that they are in. Lord, you be a king, and let's do it. This is how I want to worship you. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go to church. I'll pay my tithes. I'll give my offering. I'll do the things I need to do. Now, you be my king. But see, Jesus is not just looking to be a king. Jesus is looking to redeem a people to a capacity that they could fellowship with God again. Because Adam had fellowship with God, but he was broken because there had to be a blood atonement to take place to where he could no longer, because you know, you can't give a transfusion with an animal to somebody. Jesus had to come as a kinsman redeemer. He had to come as a human. He had to be tempted just like we are tempted. He had to go through the battles just like we are battled. He had to go through the crucifixion. He had to take the beating on his back. He had to be made fun of in front of the people. Put the blindfold on his face, as we said earlier, and smote him and say, who hit you? He had to go through those things. Why? Because he was fulfilling, he was unveiling redemption. Jesus had to do that because he could not bypass Calvary. Listen to what I'm saying. That's what the church world's trying to do, even trying to creep into the message churches, is trying to bypass Calvary. What is Calvary? It's when you have to die to yourself. You can no longer, you can't keep who you are and be and serve God in the capacity that he's called you to be. There has to be a death. There has to be a death to the old man where you are dead to the world. You're dead to the things of unbelief. You're dead to false doctrine. You're dead to all these things because when you die, Christ can raise you up.
Amen.
It's like whenever Brother Tony did the service for Elijah and Rachel. Don't you love being preacher's kids? When he had the service for Elijah and Rachel, standing there, Rachel couldn't keep her own self. Her own name. She had to lay her name down and take on the name of Elijah Black.
Right.
Because if she held on to her name and said, nope, I'm not doing that, I'm going to be a Deanhart. Deanhart through and through. I love the Deanharts, don't get me wrong. But you know what?
I like it.
Oh, I love it. She could no longer hold on to the name Deanhart because why? She was taking on the image of her husband.
Right.
She said, I'm laying who I was down. My ambition's down. My desire's down because I'm taking on his headship. And when a wife takes on the name of her husband, of his character, of who he is, she will bear his image. And that's exactly the way the church is. When you must lay your life down. It don't matter what I think it says. What does the Bible say?
Amen. Yeah.
Man, right. The Bible says it. That's why we want to bear it. Because that's the image of God. If we try to go another way, you're going to present a different image. God will not marry that.
Yeah.
Amen. I want his name.
Amen.
Right.
But I want him to put his name on me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. It's where God's vindication on our life, where God says, I am with this person. Jesus did not have to walk out and say, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one sent from God. He did not do that. You know what? The Father manifested it. The Father approved it. This lady does not have to tell anybody she's my wife. I have people come, customer come, and I converted them from a Ram to a Ford. come over and said, Brother Daniel, or someone can call me Brother Daniel still, but I think it's been open before. They'll come by there and they'll say, hey, Daniel, said, I saw your wife there the other day. I said, oh, did you talk to her? No, he said, my name is your wife. And you're right. She is short. Yep, she is. She don't have to go around and say, I am the wife of Daniel Black. If you know me, you know that's my wife. Because this light is shining on her, and everywhere she goes, she's bearing my image. And that's exactly the way of the bride of Jesus Christ. We don't have to say, I'm the bride. He shines his light on us. He bears his life on us. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
And you see where God has put his hand upon you, and he said, that definitely was not me. That was God. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
It's in spite of our efforts. Seems like Brother Bram says, when God will start putting his hand on somebody, he says, have to pull his hand back, they get puffed up in themselves. And they pull their hand back and let them get humbled back down again, then he starts using them again. That's every person. Brother Brenham said, you know, he said one time, he said, I like it when tells me that it was a good service. Somebody else looked at him and said, Brother Brenham, I don't like that. I don't want anyone to ever tell me I had a good service. He said, there's only one difference between me and you. I'm telling the truth and you're lying. You sisters be cooking some food. How many of you sisters like it when I say, boy, this is good? Liars. We love it. We love everything. It's good. We need that. We need to be reminded. Hey, I see what you're doing. I see the works that you're doing, and you are making a difference. Yeah. Every person needs to hear that, even though we don't want to tell everybody. Yes, we do. Yeah. That little pat on the back, you can walk up and say, babe, that food was good. Oh, yeah. Look at her. She's getting red. Oh, boy. She needs us. Sometimes we as people, we need to be reminded. You are doing a good job. Yeah. Hey, I know you feel like you're struggling. I know it feels like everything in the world's going wrong. But I'm here to tell you, you're doing good. Yeah. You're doing good. You're doing good. You know what, buddy? You are doing good. You know how God does that?
Amen.
Through you and me. Mm-hmm. We're the one that says, hey, you're doing good.
Keep up the work.
Right.
Hey, sis.
You're doing good. Because you know why? We are his hand and we are his feet. We are the ones that whenever the devil is bombarding their mind, mind you, the Lamb is interceding the entire time.
Right.
Interceding for every name in that book.
Right.
But while every one of us are on this journey in the darkest ages ever been, that devil will fight our mind of telling you, you ain't good enough, you ain't never going to make it, you're not making a difference. It don't matter if you raise your hand in church. It don't matter if you sing a special, if you don't sing a special. It don't matter if you go to church, if you don't go to church. It don't matter if you pray, if you don't pray. I'm here to tell you, it makes a difference.
Right.
Brother Branham did it in the simplicity of a little girl that was waving the flag before the king. And she said, why are you crying, little girl? Didn't you see the king? And she says, yeah, I saw him, but I'm so little, he didn't see me. He said, aren't you thankful? We have a God that sees us when we wave our flag.
Amen.
Amen.
Whenever somebody comes across your heart, across your mind, that brother Tim is on my mind. Oh, God, I ask you to help that brother today. Strengthen him. Help him with that neck, Lord. Help him with the things he's going through. Your little wave of your flag could be the very thing that he causes that climax where he receives his healing.
Right.
A lot of times you think it'll be the preacher behind the pulpit doing it. Sometimes it's the sister in the church.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the person that reaches down and picks up a little trash on the floor. It's the actions that we do. And a lot of times it's the reactions that we do. God will allow people that are absolutely anointed of the devil to run your day. He will allow them to come to try you, to squeeze you, to poke you, to provoke you, to try to drive out an anger out of you. People are absolutely anointed of it. Why? To try you. That God can show in the darkest age that's ever been, I've got a people that believe my word. You know, how hard would it be to believe if everything went good? If I got $1 million, oh, Tony, can I borrow you for a second, brother? We pick on each other when it comes to this. And we got bubble gum. He was ready this time. If I was to walk up to my brother Tony and say, Brother Tony, I'm giving you $1 million, brother Tony. It's real. Would you
and smile when I say this. I'm giving you a car. No, this is not real. I'm giving you this, buddy. I'm giving you a car. I'm giving you $1 million. I'm going to start tilling your garden for you. You'll never till it again. I'm going to chase those pesky goats. If they ever come back, I'm going to be one chasing those pesky goats. Look at that smile. Oh, man. She said, glory. But he's like, you know, if I was to present this to him and say, Brother Daniel, you're going to do that for me? Well, not really. But you're going to do that for me, Brother Daniel? Yep, I'm going to do it for you. God's faith in God's word is whenever we can have just as much faith as if he's going to do that in the first place. Those pesky goats that keep coming back, I pray that they're dead. Maybe they're dead. I don't know. I hope so. No. Oh, they're not. Well, the Lord answers prayer. Yeah. Maybe not to kill the goats, but move them out of the way. God will allow things to happen in your life that will bring absolute. But we got to look to God's word, where God's word says, I will meet all your needs. I will be your refuge. I will be your strength in the midst of the storm. Build your house upon this, to where we smile and we whenever we don't feel like smiling. I'm going to tell you something. You have a goat jump on top of your car and see if you feel like smiling. Bless God. God's creation. No, if you're flash, you're like, you little rascal, where's the shotgun? We're having barbecue tonight. I pray, I thank the Lord he didn't put me into that trial, because we would have probably had barbecue. God will allow people to absolutely be anointed to know how to try to ruin your day. Why? He is trying your image, trying your character of who you are. Reminds me of what the prophet said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. He said at one point, he said, the people said, as long as we see the same God that works in Moses, in Joshua, we will follow you, Joshua. You know, I believe that's exactly why, because the Joshua is a type of the end time ministry, that the people will follow this fivefold end time ministry if they see the same God that was with Brother Brennan's ministry in this ministry. Is that the truth? If he, because as a matter of fact, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, there's a book of Acts being written.
That's yeah. Right.
Brother Tony had a back pain that he wasn't even thinking about. Mm-hmm. And Brother Jonathan Goff wasn't even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And that brother walked right here behind the pulpit, not thinking, well, maybe the Lord will give me faith that my back will be healed. Maybe in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. No, he just walked up here and said, just realize the pain that was in my back, it's gone.
Right.
Why? There was a Lamb interceding.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Brother and sister, sometimes the release of our trial was whenever we don't even expect it. And it will, and most of the time, it's not the way you think it would go.
That's right.
I remember whenever I was, we used to go swimming out at this lake. I don't remember the name of it. It's out in Western Oklahoma. It was dirty water. I hate dirty water. I hate swimming in dirty water. I always had this tormented mind that I'm getting a trot line or something. But we're out here in this water. We're swimming. We got a bunch of people out there. And we got a beach ball. Anything wrong with the beach ball? No. Beach ball's fine. I'm out here with the beach ball, and I'm playing with the beach ball, and all the people's right here playing with the beach ball. It slips a little bit. I'm trying to get the beach ball. And next thing I know, I'm so far away from everybody else. I'm out in the current, and I'm way, 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 way over my head, and I can't handle it. And I'm going under, and the waves are coming up, and I'm a pretty good swimmer. I ain't done it, probably not now. I used to be really good. I could swim really good. I was swimming, and the waves kept pushing me further out, and every time I try to holler for help, waves that hit me across my face and they'd go me back under the water, and I would get back up and I felt like I was a goner. And I had this Uncle John. It was Judy's dad, full-blood German, just a big old muscled up guy. In my mind, I was thinking John would be the one that could save me. He's the big strong guy. And I'm way out in the water, and I'm trying to grab, and I can't even get the beach ball to hold on to, you know, so you can put your balance on top of it to try to breathe. Couldn't get the beach ball. And I am literally drowning. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm gone. And all of a sudden, I felt this arm go around my belly, pick me up, and starts pulling me back. And my head across the water, and he's taking me back, and taking me back, and taking me back. And I thought, oh my gosh, Uncle John got me. And I turned around, and it was my Uncle James. It was the guy that everyone said was a goofball. It was the guy that they said, you know what, that guy's, oh, he's silly, doing all this. He quit school at a young age. He's the guy that saved my life. And listen to me, there's many times, brothers and sisters, we'll think, if I can only get this preacher, if I can get this person, if I can get this person, I can get through this trial. Sometimes it'll be the person that everyone might think is a goofball. But he's the one that God chose for the job. And you might be that goofball. You might be the very one that's the oddball that people say they'll never do any kind of miracles, they'll never do any of that. That's what the devil tried to make you think. But you know what? James wouldn't even think. What was it? A lamb was interceding. A lamb was interceding, and maybe God inspired him, and maybe he may never swim like that ever again because he had God on him at that time.
Right.
Because he was saving somebody. And listen to me, brother and sister, God might be calling you to be a goofball sometime. You might be the goofball to save somebody and pull them out of their trial whenever they're going under that water. Look, I can't go another down. And you're trying so hard to keep your head above float. We live in the darkest age, listen to me, where suicide is so rampant upon the earth. Why is Satan doing that? Think of this. Why does Satan try so hard with suicide? Why does Satan try so hard with abortions? Why does Satan try for all these things for women not to have children? Why? Because God's got a book. And it's got names written in the book. And Satan, he does not want to let those names come manifest. He'll try to kill you by suicide. He'll try to kill you by abortions. He'll try to kill you by causing a mama that don't want to have babies. Why? Because there's a name written in the book. But the Lamb's interceding, and he knows every single name that's in that book, and he's going to keep interceding for that name until every name is redeemed.
Right.
That means you and me. Amen. That gives me confidence. Satan trying so hard because he knows that when the sons of God come to manifestation of knowing who they are, we are amateur gods.
Amen.
And we can speak and God will answer. Amen. The earth is in a fallen condition and Adam forfeited the title deed and it went right back to the original owner. Now listen to what he says here. He says, now, oh my. Now the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God, the title deed to the earth and to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it. So it went back to the original owner, God himself. We're going to find it just in a minute. He sits on the throne with his hand and the title deed. Oh, that makes me feel religious. The title deed to eternal life. Abstract title deed to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it for wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the owner, Almighty God. What a great thing. All right, waiting. What's it doing? In the hands of God, waiting for redemption's claims. He made a way of redemption. He made a way back. And someday the Redeemer is to take it back. You see where we're getting it now? We'll watch it. Watch this fellow sitting upon the throne, all right? Wait for the redemption claims, the redemption. What is this book of redemption? This title deed, abstract title deed. You say abstract? What does the abstract mean? It means it searched all the way back to its beginning, like that little drop of ink this morning when it struck that bleach. It went all the way back, and when sin was been confessed and fallen in the blood of Jesus Christ, it gives an abstract right straight back to the Creator again. You become a son of God. The abstract title deed is held in the hands of the Almighty. Oh my. Its redemption means all legal possessions to all that was lost of Adam and Eve. Oh my, what that ought to do to a born-again Christian. It's legal possession to the abstract deed, title deed of eternal life means that you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost.
Amen.
What of it, brother? The possession of the title deed. Adam could not meet the requirements of redemption after he found he'd lost. He had sinned and he had separated himself from God and was on this side of the chasm. So he could not redeem it. He just couldn't do it because he needed a redemption himself. So he could not do it. But the law required a kinsman redeemer. The law of God required a kinsman redeemer. If you want to mark that down, kinsman redeemer, find it in Leviticus 25. We don't have time to thoroughly search this because you know each text. But God's law received a substitute. Now, what if God had not offered it to take the substitute? But love constrained him to do it. That man was without a way back, and there was no way for him to get back. He was gone. But the grace of God met the kinsman redeemer in the person of Jesus Christ. Law required it. Grace met its requirements. Oh my, it's amazing grace. If Jesus didn't go to Calvary, there would be no redemption. And man was trying to push Jesus into this position of just take the kingship, don't go to Calvary. And listen to me, friends, Satan will try to do that to every believer. Just make him king. Don't worry about Calvary. Don't worry about dying. That's what he's done to this age and every age before. Is try to go the easy way. Amen? We're going to be just a little longer. We'll be done. If man would allow Jesus to rise into his full position into their lives, they'll see that God's plans for their lives is so much greater than what it is for him. Amen? Jesus wasn't desperate. Catch this. Jesus was not desperate just to get his job done, of his mission, of saying, you know what, that's the easy way. I'll just take kingship. He was not desperate just to get a move of God, of saying, well, that's a work. Jesus prevailed. And listen to me, the bride of Jesus Christ will prevail when we believe his word.
Amen.
It will not be whenever you go the easy way. Listen to me, it will not be when you go the easy way. It's always when you go the hard way. Very rarely will God call you to go the easy way. Most generally, when God calls you, it is the hard way. And I wish I had time. God really would love to go in and dig in some of that. Well, Brother Brennan was told the same thing, because you've chosen the right way. You've chosen my way.
Amen.
Maybe one day we'll get to do that. But the way God calls his people, most generally, it is the hard way. Jesus wasn't desperate of trying to make something work. Jesus prevailed. And if Jesus would have settled for allowing them to make him a king on earth, everything would have still been in the possession of Satan. And listen to me, there's a lot of times when we go the easy way in our own life, the goal that we're trying to reach God for, it's because we're going the easy way. Sometimes it's the hard way. Sometimes it's whenever you got to say, no, I'm not going to go to these friends, because every time I go with these friends, they're taking me backwards. Come and show you something. There is a power of influence. And your friends that you dwell with, the people that you hang around, they have a huge effect on you. And there comes a time, sometimes you got to go the hard way. I remember whenever we had a place in Poldo, I believe it was London Street was the name of the street. It's like two blocks down from my mom's. I had friends from high school that I dearly loved as brothers. And I had my children. Elijah was just a little bitty baby at that time. And this is actually right before the Lord healed his face. In fact, it was right before the Lord healed your face. That's exactly what happened. His face was he was full with eczema all over his face and everything. I had friends that were good friends of mine that I loved them as brothers, and I wanted them to come over, and they wanted to come visit with me. But my house was a sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And they come there, and they began to talk in ways that they shouldn't talk. And I said, hey, guys, you can't talk like that. I said, this is my house. This is my, and oh, don't worry about that. Man, just kept talking and just completely disrespecting. And it's like, at first I was like, oh, man, these are my brothers. You know, and they would sit there, and they would just little by little just kept saying little words slip out. And I said, guys, you can't talk like that. And they said, this is my family. This is my home. This is my sanctuary. I finally had to take a stand and say, I'm sorry, guys. We can't do this. We can't do this.
Right.
And they said, oh, man. And started cussing and being very vulgar. And I realized it was a spirit on this man. I said, I'm sorry, guys. We can't do this. This is my sanctuary. This is my home. And then they ended up leaving. And I'm here to tell you, it hurt me. Because I had to make a stand for my family. And I never realized it just now. And then talking about this testimony, and it was right after that, brother and sister, is when God healed my boy
right.
of his face. There will be times whenever it will be uncomfortable, and you'll have to take a stand and say, I love you, I do, and I will pray for you, but you can't keep going around the same folks. Because listen, right. you keep hanging around those same folks, they will pull you.
Right.
You can tell yourself all your mind, well, I'm going to go in there because I'm going to save them. Yeah, if God calls you to do that, there's no safer place to be than right where God called you to be. But if you're going in yourself, Brother Graham talked the story about the little woman on the dance floor. God had called her away from that life, and she was going by the dance floor, and she heard the music playing, and she stopped, and she listened. And the next thing she knew, she was right back in the dance floor in a man's arms. Now, she could repent to God and get back in line. But listen to me, that's exactly the way the devil, the whole time, we got a lamb interceding for us. But while we're here on earth, brother and sister, this is the challenge. This is the fight. We have the Satan is doing his very best because he will get you with the power of influence.
Right.
The people around you, the people you dwell with, because the people you hang around, if you ain't careful, you'll start talking like them. Yeah. You'll start walking like them. You'll start spitting like them.
Right.
That's exactly right. Power of friends. You know, power of influence. We must live a consecrated life. And listen to me, sometimes it's a lonely walk. Sometimes it's a lonely walk. When you're in that cocoon, you're all by yourself. There ain't nobody there, but you're walking with the Lord.
Right.
You got his presence, brother and sister. So this time is so temporal. It's so small, this time that we have right now. It's so little. If we could just look beyond the chasm and see, I think my thing's going down here. If we go beyond look beyond the chasm, we will see that other land and see how little this trial I'm in right now. Sometimes, I feel the Lord is leading me so hard on this. Sometimes you're going to feel so alone. The devil will try to tell you you're all alone. Right. You're by yourself. You're doing this. And during those times, say, Lord, be my comfort.
Right.
Be my shield, Lord. And there's many times when you're feeling all alone, when you go to pray and say, Lord, help me, and you start thinking about your brother and your sister, you're going to find out there's somebody else that needs something. And then whenever you begin to pray, and you know, Scripture says pray in the Spirit because you know not what you're going to pray for. Sometimes you just be praying, all of a sudden this sister come on your mind or this brother comes on your mind, and you're just praying, and that loneliness is left, and here comes a warmth of the Holy Ghost that comes right down into your heart. And then you're being able to be used, and you're praying for them. What is it? You're being God's instrument. Whenever you are yielding to the loneliness that you feel, the devil will make you feel so depressed, so beat down, feel like you're all alone. Listen to what Brother Daniel is saying to you. When you go through those times, seek the Lord and say, God, I ask you to start praying for, touch my brothers, touch my sisters, Lord, help them. And you walk, you start going down the line and praying to that, and you'll feel it hit. You'll feel it like, I don't even know how to explain it, like hitting electricity. You'll feel it hit, it's that brother, like, oh, there it is. And you start going down the line, you start praying for that brother, you'll feel the warmth of the Holy Ghost coming down so strong, and you're empowered. And then after you rise from that prayer, you not only have you touched a life, brother and sister, but you will walk with a bounce in your step. Why? Because my God just used me. That's exactly what God is calling you to do. Sometimes when you feel alone, it's because God wants to use you.
Amen.
God wants to use you. Sometimes you'll feel so alone, so beat down. During those times, God used me. Oh, Lord, I want to be used by you, Lord. You start doing this, and you see if God don't start moving on you. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen.
Amen.
Music, come on. I'm gonna try to finish, wrap this up in just a couple minutes, but let me read one more scripture to you, okay? Brother Tim, I'm just going to turn to you in the music, buddy. Brother Brim says this. He says, now the seal is a sign of a finished work, and we know that seal, like you're going to seal a box car, well, they put all the work in it and store everything up. Then it's sealed to its destination. Any seal is a finished work, but you write a document, then it's sealed at the end. Never sealed until it's finished. In order for man to be sealed by Christ, he could not bypass Calvary. Christ had to go to Calvary because God wants to put a seal on you. And I'm gonna try to plow through this just real quick, okay? Whenever they take a jar out of the chicken coop and it's got poop and all this stuff all over that thing, they bring that jar inside the house, they set it on the top of it. That's justification. That's part of the program. But you're still not being used of God. That's justification. But what will they do? They'll take that jar and put it inside that dishwater and begin to wash it with that dishwater. And they'll take that jar and set it to the side for service. And you know what? That thing is still ain't done yet. What's the next thing? God will actually fill that thing with water. And brother and sister, down that journey that God has called, there's many people. Maybe you're still in the chicken coop. Maybe you're at the point where you've come inside the house. Maybe you're at the point where God has washed you. But have you been filled?
And listen to me, brothers and sisters, that's what we need. There will be a longing inside your heart. I want to be filled. I'm missing something. There's something inside you that's missing. What is it? God has set you aside for service, but God wants to fill you. And Brother Daniel is talking about during those times, you begin to see God. God, fill the void. Fill the void in my life, Lord, and you'll see if God don't do it. Amen? Lord, fill me. What we need is a Pentecost. And what I mean by Pentecost is not speaking in tongues and running down the aisles. What we need is where the Holy Ghost will settle down upon the church, upon the individual, and the Holy Ghost will lead the individual. Listen to me, brother and sister. That's what God used to do it. He still does it.
Yeah.
But you know what? We have to humble ourselves before Him and say, Lord, I got to have you today. I need you here, Lord. I need you now. I don't want to go another day without you, Lord. I do not want to find myself on rapture morning seeking whether I've got the Holy Ghost or not. We can walk and bask in His presence right here, right now. Let's sing a song, Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me.
One time about a man that was he was auctioning off a violin, and his violin, they would say, he'll give you $50 for the violin, or he'll give $100 for the violin. And nobody wanted would give any kind of money for it, maybe $2 or $3 for it or something. Everyone saw the violin as this old violin and said, there's nothing to that violin, there ain't no use to it, nobody wants it. But here come a little old man walking up the aisles toward the front. He was the man that created the violin. He began to take the violin in front of the people, in front of the auction, and stood right in front of the people. Began to play Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And people began to hear this instrument being able to be in the master's hands and do what it was called to do.
Amen.
And all of a sudden people said 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. What was it? The instrument that whenever they saw somebody else trying to do it, nothing worked. But when they saw it in the master's hand, amen, they said, I want that.
Yeah.
And brother and sister, that's the way it is with you and I. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, there's nothing to me. God, don't use me. I want to call you today to say, Lord, let me be in the master's hand today, Lord. I want you to play your music through my life, Lord. Lord, I want you to be able to touch lives through my life, Lord. Help me to be a witness of your mercy, Lord. Help me to touch my family, Lord. Help me when I go to the stores, I can touch somebody, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to be a witness, Father. Lord, I want the Holy Ghost, Lord. I want your promises in my life, Lord. Yield to Him and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to jump up and shout, I'll jump up and shout. I don't care what it is. I don't care, God. I just want to be used by you, Lord.
Hi,
Lord.
is, you know, when you have someone that you love and they're going through something, it causes you to intercede for them because you love them.
Right.
You want to see what's best for them. And as long as our God is interceding for those people on that book, then they're going to manifest.
Yes.
He's going to stay there and intercede for them until.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't you want to know whether your name's on that book?
Right.
We walk through this life, we spend many, many years seeking for this. We try to get better jobs and get a better place and move to the right place, and we want to. We have all these things in life, but when it's all over and done with, don't we want to know that our name is on that book?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I think we would want to know that it is, I think. And no doubt he's interceding for those. Well, how do you find out if your name's on that book? If we keep doing the same thing we've done all of our life in ourselves, how are we ever going to find out whether our name's on that book or not? You can't. If I just keep chasing after the world, or if I just keep trying to get a better job or whatever success in life, and I never think about God, if I never put my thoughts toward Him and His Word, and start wondering, where do I fit in His plan?
Yep.
And I want to ask you, don't you think God has a language that can speak to you? My God has a language that spoke to me one day.
Yes.
I was miserable. I've told you before, I wasn't in a church service. I was raised in church. Thank God for it. I went the way of the world, chasing after the things of the world, just like everybody else. But I found out chasing after the things I wanted brought me nothing but misery. I was miserable.
Right?
Right. What I'll tell you is that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and we all have to come to the place where we have to look at our own decision, because that's what everybody does. We get up and we go and we do what we want. And I found out that when I was chasing my decisions, I saw where it took me.
Right.
It took me to a place that I was miserable in. So I know what I needed to do. I wasn't in a church service and somebody preached to me. One day, I was tired of being miserable, and I knew that I needed to give my heart to God, and I made a decision one day, and this is what I said. I will be in church Sunday morning. Guess where I was Sunday morning? I was in church, and I've been there ever since. And I'm just telling you, it started by changing. You know, the word repent means to change your mind, right? And so if you've got struggles, you know, most of the struggles we have in life, a huge portion of them is what we bring on ourselves. And so if you've got struggles, stop and ask yourself, how did I get where I'm at? Who did this to me? And you'll find out, for most time, it's a decision we made ourselves. I'll tell you, that's what it was for me. And I realized my decisions were wrong. And I was leading me down a pathway that was going to take me to the place I didn't want to be.
Right.
Because I was already in a place I didn't want to be. Amen.
Right.
And so it starts for somewhere. Every one of us who's served God for years, you could look at me and say, well, you know, Brother Tony, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You're just, you know, but it started one day with me saying, you know what? I'm done being me. I'm finished.
Right.
I have to turn myself over to God. And I told you, my wife would tell you, you know, she's like, I thought I was going to lose my husband to his running buddies, and then I thought I was going to lose him to his God, because I gave my life to Him. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that make your decisions. We need to analyze our lives. Even if we've been a Christian for 50 years,
Right. Analyze
where you're at and find yourself in His Word, because I'm telling you, He is there interceding for you. Right now, He's still there. Amen. The blood is still on the throne, or there making intercession for us. Amen. Don't you love Him?
Amen.
Amen.
If you're being tried today, why? Brother Danny told you. You're being tried. You're being tested. You know, my troubles I have at work, It's it's stuff that comes at me, you know. And I can say, you know what, everybody, like Brother Dan said, people are anointed. There are people anointed to make your day bad. But what about you? Who are you? What's that all about? Yeah, if you're a child of God, then God knows, and that's happening to you to lift you up and make you stronger and make you more like Him. Amen? So it's not the person, it's not the people. But we should look at ourselves and say, how am I responding to this? Have I come to the place where I know I'm a child of God and that I know who I am. And so therefore I know what it is I'm going through and what it's for. It's a testing, it's a trying. Amen. We appreciate the things that Brother Daniel had to share with us this morning. Amen. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Can you do that song? Amen. I started that service by saying that His name is Jesus. If you find yourself in trouble somewhere, just remember that. And you will. You will find yourself in a place where you need something greater than yourself. Amen. As I said last week, God had to look within Himself to be able to speak and go forward with His plan.
I just want to be.
Just worship the Lord.